As I heard that song this morning, Whatever It Takes, you know, really, the Lord only knows what it would take. So it's going to take me putting my hand in His and say, I want you to send to me whatever it takes. I was thinking of a verse to start. You know, there's a verse that says, except the Lord build a house, they're going to labor in vain that build it. We've got a few services ahead of us. But you know what? If the Lord does not meet us, we're wasting time. But I believe He wants to meet us. And so what I'd like to do is just get on out of the way and ask Him, would He visit us? Not just today, but each of the services. There's a verse I'd like to start with. Psalms 122:1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. You know, one of those reasons that I'm glad is it's good after a week of working on my job of so many people that don't believe in God. It is so good to come to service where there are other people that have a desire. I want to make heaven my home. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. But I found there's another reason that I need to be glad for this opportunity like we have this morning. And that is, I'm glad when I'm able to hear the word of the Lord be spoken. And it helped to balance my life. Because you know what? We're living in a world that says this is what balance is. And when I come and hear the word of God, it says there's something else that is really what is balanced. Psalm 73 tells us about a person that he says, truly God is good to Israel. But he goes right on to say, but as for me, my feet had just well nigh slipped. He was losing balance. He said, I looked around me and it was like the wicked had no bands in their death. Things were going well for the wicked man. And here I'm trying to live right and I've got all kind of troubles in my life. And he said, it was just almost too much for me. But he did something that saved him. Until I went into the sanctuary, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord, because that's where I can find where life is really balanced. I went into the sanctuary and then things started falling in place. My understanding started coming clear. I realized then they're in some slippery places. And you know how that is found? I've got to have something to compare this life with. There's another scripture in Ecclesiastes 8:12. It says, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged. We're watching people that are turning themselves against God in so many ways today. This is their day. They can do it however they want to do it. But this one says, though they should be able to do it 100 times and their days are prolonged, seem like no trouble comes to them. There's one thing I know. I know it's going to be well for them that fear God. We're going to have a vision that takes us out farther than just today to be able to understand it. And that's what I'm interested in today, is that the word of the Lord would bring balance into our life. And here is one of the places that it wants to start with us. I'd like to look in at a verse to start out over in Luke. Luke, the 21st chapter, 21:34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unawares. What day is that talking about for us today? Lest I get so caught up, overcharged with cares of this life. You know, cares of this life are things that we're going to have to do every day. It's just the things that we do. But it's saying there's a danger that I get overcharged with it. And when I lose my focus of what life is really all about, I can start just seeing the things that I do today as being so important. And this says a little warning to me. Lest my heart be overcharged with cares of this life, get so focused on it that that day come upon me unaware. What day is that? The last day of my life. When I step out of here and go into eternity. You know, I need to come into the sanctuary often to be reminded this life and the affairs of this life are not all of it. In fact, it's the smallest portion of my existence. And yet the world will tell me, put everything into it. Put your all into it. So that if you can have a pile of cash when it comes your time to retire, you will have arrived. You know what happens when I come into the sanctuary? It tells me, if you are at retirement age, your days are running short. You don't have much time now between this and eternity by the years of time. So there are places in the scripture that are given to me as a warning for me to be able to balance my life in the time that we're living in. I'd like to look at some of that balance. In James, in the 4th chapter, because here's where we live every day. James 4:13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city. Continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. And then it tells us this, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time. A little time. What if I get to live 80 years? It's still a little time when I compare it against something else. And I can get consumed in this. If I get to live 80 years, I've got some years out ahead of me. Let me put more effort into the things around here. Lord, help me to balance it. Because this is letting me know everything here compared to eternity is a vapor. It's just a little bit of steam, then it's gone. And he says, here's why we need to be saying, if the Lord will, we will do this or we will do that. It's a reminder to me that my life is passing, that I'm headed for eternity. And so I say, you know what? If I even have tomorrow, it'll be because it's the Lord's will. It can be taken at any time. You know, sometimes I use the word forever, kind of casually. I can even maybe say, seem like I've been waiting forever for this person to return my call. You know what forever is? It has no ending. It continues on and on. I'm only talking when I'm saying those things. I'm only talking about a little bit of time that seemed like a long time. But forever is when we start measuring against eternity. And what I'd like as we start this meeting is to ask the Lord to visit us. There's really nothing I can say to bring it home to you, because none of us can fathom eternity. We've just lived in time. We've measured everything in time. But I'm heading to a place that is no longer measured in time. And I look at a verse over in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, the 8th verse. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is just like one day. You know, when we think about that, it's hard for me to comprehend. God dwells in eternity. And to him, time means nothing, because time is not measured out in eternity. I was thinking of a verse. You know, sometimes I think of faith. When I hear somebody preach a message on faith, I say, okay, I know where this is going. It's when I get sick, I want to have some of that to believe that God's going to heal me. You know, we need faith today to believe that there's an eternity out ahead. I need that same level of faith. You know, I have faith to believe that in Hebrews 11:3, it says, through faith, there's some things we understand. Through faith, I understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. You know, the world around us today, there are many people that do not understand that. They are still trying to convince us that this earth is billions of years old and it was not created by God. By faith, I can understand that. You know, I need to have faith to understand about eternity also. That same level of faith to be able to understand it's going on right now. In my mind, the beginning of all things was Genesis 1. That wasn't the beginning of all things. Genesis 1 was just when time started to be reckoned, when the sun and the moon were put there so that we would be able to measure time. Eternity had gone on before that. It had no beginning. It has no ending. And I read of the place in Isaiah 57 and 15, "Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity." God dwells there where time is not measured. And if I could just realize that one day my life here will finish, there will be no more measurement of time for me, and I will dwell in eternity somewhere. It needs to bring a seriousness to my life. Help me to be able to balance out those things that today I feel like are very important about my job and my home and those things that could occupy my thought and my time, and help me to balance it with the thought of I'm headed for eternity. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes. Because God gave us the ability to measure time when he separated the day and the night. And there it started. And in Ecclesiastes 3 and 1, "To everything there's a season. There's a time to every purpose under the heaven. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. Time is measured until that death. And then time is no longer used." And for me to be able to, in this meeting, say, "Lord, help me to clear out a lot of other things in my mind and help me out in the future to be able to realize, okay, this is time side of eternity. I'm making choices today that will determine where I spend eternity." And so in Genesis 1, God gave us the ability to measure time. And then he tells us, you remember he says, "A day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. That's because he's living where time is not measured. There is no measurement of time there. The Bible tells me that there's an event out ahead. Look at it in Revelations, the 10th chapter. Revelations 10 and 5. This picture I need to have in my mind. "The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, the earth and the things that therein are, the sea and the things which are therein." He's going to make a declaration that there should be time no longer. Time, the measurement of time, comes to an end, and the only thing left is eternity. And so when I look again at 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, first verse, it says, "This second epistle I'm writing to you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." You know, a lot of us, all our life, have heard about eternity out ahead. But you know, it is so easy in my everyday living for it to just kind of fade away. And I think only of the temporal things. I would like to ask the Lord to help us each one in this meeting. Lord, help me to balance my temporal things with eternal. Help me to realize if I live 80 years here, it won't even be a measurement compared to where I spend eternity. And so this morning, my desire is for us to allow God to let it just soak in the magnitude of eternity compared to what I understand about time. It says in the last days, there's going to be scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, this is the fourth verse, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. You know, even in this, they have missed something. Because they have forgotten, all things have not continued as it was from the beginning of creation. It says this, they're willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, it was overflowed with water and perished. And I think about the time when Noah lived. It says there was wickedness. The imaginations of men's hearts was only evil continually. And God said, I'm going to destroy this earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God gave Noah some instructions. This will be your protection against what's coming. I'm going to give you directions about how to build a boat. And I want you to get started making it. You think Noah had to have some faith? He sure did. Because it had never rained before. And he's building a boat in a place where it's not out by the water where I could push it in and go around the lake. It's out by faith. He believes something's going to happen. It would be one thing if it took a couple weeks to build it and now I'm ready. But over 100 years in the building of it, with people all around wondering, why are you wasting your time on this? There has never even been a rain in the past, and you believe God spoke to you and said, build a boat. The faith that Noah had to have that something is out ahead is the same faith I need to have today that something's out ahead. And if it takes me 100 years that I continue building by the pattern that God has given me, so that I'll be ready on the day that the flood comes and I go out into eternity. You know, this one in the third chapter of 2 Peter is talking about the day, the last day, the end of all things. And I can remember as a child myself hearing ministers preaching about this, feeling like the end is very, very near. And they could preach it in a way that I felt like I'm about to swing out over it. That's been 40 or 50 years ago. And if I'm not careful, I can do the same as these other people. Since our fathers fell asleep, things have just been continuing. And yet my end is approaching. You know, there was a time when I worried or thought a lot about when I'd hear messages preached about the end of time. But you know, I don't do that so much anymore because I know my end is approaching. The end of all things may not come in my lifetime. But you know what? These scoffers, they're out in eternity now. Their end has come. If the end of all things does not come for 100 years, it really won't matter for all of us because our end will have come and we will have moved from time out into eternity. And to me, it's the seriousness of it is what I would like to soak in for myself. Because you know what? Tomorrow, people will go back to work doing the cares of life. And the Bible teaches us that we've got to do it. It says for the husband to take care of the family, get out there and work. But you know what the devil would love to do? Is push me overboard to where it consumes me. And I'm not ready at that day when he would call for me. There is something coming out ahead where I will go out into eternity. You know, there have been people that have given a date. I know when the end will come. That's happened several times in my lifetime. And as it approaches, apprehension builds in people. Could this be the time? And that time came and went. And Jesus told us, said, of that day knoweth no man. He said, the angels don't know. He said, I don't even know. Jesus does not know when that time is. He said, it's only the Father that knows. But this scripture tells us in 3:10, the day of the Lord will come. You know, today it seems like man is having his day. I can do things however I want to. I do not regard God in my decisions at all as what the world is doing. This is their day. But there is a day coming that's going to be the Lord's day. When it says, it's hard to comprehend this, when man is as bold as he is today. But it says there's coming a day when every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. That sounds like a good time. That sounds like a good day for salvation, except that at that time, it's too late. There'll be no opportunity on that day when everybody says, let me bow my knee before the Lord. That day is too late. The day of the Lord will come. So how do I live my life, taking the temporal things that I need to do and balancing them out to where I'm ready when the Lord comes back? You remember when the angel was there when Jesus was taken up? He said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus that you see going up, he's going to come back in like manner. And they took that serious. Okay, we know what he meant by that. He's coming back very soon. And you read in Acts, if he's coming back very soon, why do I even need to bother about temporal things? Why do I even need a job if he's coming back soon? So some of those folks, and we read about it in Acts 4, go out and they sold their possessions and they put it together. Why not? He said he's coming again. Sold their possessions, ready for him to come again. And he didn't come. You know, now 2,000 years have gone and we're still preaching the same message. He's coming again. And all the generations from that time to now are there. It's as if the end of all things has come. And my end is coming. So I don't need to sell my house, sell my cars, and say, okay, I'm going to sit at home and read my Bible till he comes again. You know what? The devil will even have a plan in that. You know, because I've got a mind that is running. I need the Lord to help me in my mind. It's not just about my work. I can sit at home and read and pray, and the devil cause my mind to drift off to other things. So what I'm going to need to do is be able to balance everything. And when I go out into a cemetery and I look at the dates on the tombstones, the date of birth and the date of death, there's something that I need to do. I need to realize the only thing that happened to that person is they left the place where time is measured. This just says what their last day on earth was. And it also lets me know this was the first day of eternity that cannot be measured with time. When I looked at the definition of eternity, it tries to warn me that you can't measure it. Don't try to measure it, because it cannot be measured in time. And I got that little picture when it says that a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day, because he dwells in eternity where time is not measured. And I'm headed there. There is a verse that has come to me recently that has been a warning to me. It's Proverbs 29:18. It said, where there is no vision, the people perish. I would like for us to think about that verse with this. You know what? If I continue through my life without a clear vision of eternity ahead for me, there's a very good chance I'm going to perish, because there's many things to distract me in my journey between here and eternity. And for us here today, it does not have to be sinful things. It can be lawful things. I was thinking of one of those lawful things. One day in Genesis 13 chapter, Abraham talked to his nephew Lot. They were both so wealthy, had so many herds and flocks that the land was not able to contain them both. And Abraham said, we're going to need to separate. You pick. You go left, I'll go right. You go this way, I'll take the other. Take what's left. There was nothing wrong in what Lot did. He chose the best. He could have. It was offered to him. But there was something that happened in just a short amount of time by Scripture. Just a couple verses after he's made that choice, it says he pitched his tent toward Sodom. He isn't there, but he's just leaning in that direction. He's moved a little closer to that. You know, it seemed like he made a good business decision. And as I look at eternity out ahead for me, I start looking at temporal things a little different than I used to. I used to look at, when I was looking at getting a job, taking a job, there were two things I looked for. What's the benefits? What do you have to offer? How much pay? What are the benefits? You know, as I start looking at eternity out ahead and I measure my life against eternity, it should make a difference in even that. It should be that I would go to the Lord and say, Lord, you know what? I don't even know the people that will be on that job that could influence me in the years to come. So, Lord, it's really not about the money foremost. It's about me making heaven my home. So I ask you the things that I cannot tell for sure myself. Would you cause those to open or close with eternity in view? Being able to see that, Lot could not see the price tag. When the angels came to Sodom, because time passes on and Lot no longer has his tents pitched toward Sodom, he's now living there. But you know what? Even though he was living there, his heart was still, says he was against the wickedness that was going on there. Even when the angels came there, his desire was to protect them. But there's something that is a warning to me. It's possible that I could be saved in the end with making decisions that draw me away. But I got children that's coming along. You know, Lot had some children there in Sodom and Gomorrah. He had some sons-in-law. That meant he was married to some of his daughters. And it said when he warned his sons-in-law, we got to flee, this thing is coming to an end. It says they saw him as one that mocked. You know, we've been living here all this time and nothing has happened. And they stayed on. And when I see the price tag that it was for Lot, you know, we think about that verse that says, what shall it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and he lose his soul? What was a profit to Lot to take the best land and it caused him to be drawn into the world? Because when he'd left that large herd and flocks that he had, it doesn't say he took them with him. He escaped with his life and his wife for a little bit, but and his two daughters, but it cost him so much in his life. So I think about for us today in choices that we're making. Deuteronomy 30 and 19 said, I'm calling heaven and earth to record against you this day. I've set before you life and death and blessing and cursing, and you're going to get to choose which one you want. Now, you know what? If every one of us today, if we were going to choose between a blessing and a cursing, we'd say we'll take the blessing, sure enough. But you know how we choose that? It's in everyday decisions that we're making. Decisions that don't even seem to be connected with a cursing. When Lot made that decision and pitched his tent towards Sodom, he did not see a cursing out ahead in his life. When I think about my soul headed for eternity, and you know, in creation, it tells us that when he made man, man became a living soul. And then it goes on to tell me there's something else that's going to happen to man. I'd like to look at it for just a little bit. It's in Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes 12, even for young people today, you know, this can kind of seem like, okay, old people, you do need to worry about eternity out ahead. But when's the best time for me to prepare for eternity? First verse says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. But this 12th chapter tells about the aging process. Some years are passing now. Some things are changing in the human body. And it closes out that fifth verse says man is going to his long home. How long? Forever. Out in eternity, forever. Because of choices that I've made, directions that I've taken. And for us here today, it won't be about our desire is I would not go out and do a willful sin. The devil knows that. So what he would like to do is step by step, maybe just cause me to get too consumed with temporal things, that day come on me unaware. But it says man's going to his long home. And in the seventh verse, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. For eternity, return to God who gave it. I was thinking about Ezekiel. God has no desire that anyone would be lost. We see that in 2 Peter 3. Why has it been so long and the end has not come? Because he's not willing that any would perish, but that everybody would be able to come to repentance. Ezekiel 18 and 23, he says, do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, but not that he return and live? My desire is that the wicked himself would make a change and return. And in the 21st verse, it's talking about, if the wicked person will turn from his wicked ways, he shall live. I am so thankful for the plan of salvation. Just because a person has fallen into sin, it does not need to stay that way. A change can be. If any man be in Christ, he'll be a new creature. Old things will pass away. All things will become new. But right in that same area, in the 24th verse, it says, but when the righteous turns from his righteousness, and he commits iniquity, all of his righteousness will not be mentioned with eternity out ahead. There's something for us to remember today. There's many religious people that say that you just make a decision for Christ and you will make heaven your home. It's true, we will need to make a decision for Christ. That decision is going to change how I live every day after that. I was thinking of a verse in Isaiah 59 and 1. It said, the Lord's hand, it's not because the Lord can't save. The Lord's hand's not shortened that he cannot save. His ear's not heavy that he cannot hear. But here's what did it. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. I need to always remember sin is going to separate me from God. And unless I repent of those sins, it's going to separate me from him for eternity. God allows us to make choices. He has done that from Adam and Eve. A choice can be made. You know, with Adam and Eve, he had so much intended for them, so much good intended for them, but he still wanted to give them a choice. Here is good. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. But I want to, before I part, I want to tell you, would you choose life so that both you and your seed can live? When Eve took a look at that after Satan had talked to her, you know what? That fruit looked different then. She said it was a desire to make one wise. She saw, hadn't tasted it yet, she saw that it was good for food. And she took of it and did eat. You know what? The devil's got a plan for every one of us. He knows that every one of us is headed for eternity. When I step over from time into eternity, there will be no changes for me. So he's got a plan for us. To the young person, there's a plan. And God is saying, choose life. He's really saying, choose eternal life by the decisions that you make every day. But I was looking also here in Ecclesiastes in 11 and 9, even to the young people. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart, in the sight of thine eyes. Many young people are doing that today. We're doing whatever makes us happy. And this one says you can do that, but the verse hasn't ended yet. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. I'm headed for eternity. The decisions that I make, I will be brought into judgment for those. You remember the sign that we see at Monarch? I must die. But when's it going to be? Don't know. I must meet God. But how will I meet him? And it's guaranteed I will live in eternity. But where will it be? It's going to be choices for saved people making day by day. Tell the Lord, Lord, I have no desire to go out into sin. And yet the devil has a plan to cause me to be distracted with something. You ever had somebody do you wrong? It can consume your thoughts. Thoughts that the Lord would love to have had. Remember the verse that says, Thy word, O Lord, I've hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The Lord would love us. Remember the verse that says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And the devil has a plan to get our minds distracted with something. And so we can be hurt with something. And you know what? There are times that that passes from one generation to another and consumes those people to where there are children that don't even know what happened way back there. And that they just know I've got something against these others. And eternity is coming closer and closer. For us, each one here today, for myself, I want to ask the Lord, Lord, I want you to help me to have a vision of this. I can't comprehend it. I live in time. Everything is measured by time. The time of service starts, the time it ends. And yet I'm headed to a place where time is no longer there. It'll never be measured. And where I spend eternity will be determined with what I do with my time while I'm here. So in this, in the third chapter, he says, the day of the Lord is going to come, 10th verse. As a thief in the night, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Do I really believe that? Do I believe that the job that I hold is so important? I've worked there for 30 years now, almost 30 years. That job is real important to me. This says it's going to go up in smoke, and everything I've accumulated in all these years will also. And then it gives me a warning. But really, should my life pass and this event does not happen, it really doesn't matter. My end is coming. So seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, 11th verse, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? If I really believe time's passing and I'm headed for eternity that will never end, and there's only two places to dwell, and I'm deciding today which one of those places it will be for me by choices that I make. Seeing that it's going to be dissolved, how should I be living my life today and tomorrow? In the 14th verse, it says, Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Eternity is ahead. I ask God to help me in the temporal affairs that I must take care of day by day, that I always have this vision that I can compare against. We're going to compare our life against something. And there are so many people that compare this life with retirement. You get you a pile of cash and you get to retirement and you have arrived. Folks, if I have a vision of eternity, I will realize, no, I haven't arrived, but I'm getting very close. I'm soon going to step out of here into eternity. So is this intended to just scare me? Mm-mm. It's intended for me to walk with a carefulness and say, Lord, I don't know all the tricks that the devil has planned for me. The closer I want to walk to God, the farther it's going to be from the devil's mind to cause me to go out into deep sin. But he does have a plan to distract me. But I am so thankful today that just like it was back there when it's talking in 2 Peter 3, he's not willing that any would perish. His desire is not that I would perish, but that I'd be able to make heaven my home. So through this meeting, I ask God to visit us all, that we would be able to have a vision of what life is really all about. The only way we're going to know it is we're going to have to compare it with eternity. And the only way we can compare it with eternity is go to the one that dwells there and ask him to help me be able to understand it better, because I want to dwell there with him. Because I understand there's only two places, and I've decided one of them I sure don't want to go to. So I want to be ready. I desire your prayers.